We're going to talk about hoarding, of all things.
Yes, because hoarding is idolatry. And maybe sometimes we're hoarding and we don't even realize we are. So we've got this conversation in front of us with Brad Graber. He's our financial planner, joins us every Tuesday at 7:30. And also you can check out his advice on investingintruth.com. Brad, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Well, it's great to have you with us on this Tuesday. I want to ask a little bit about hoarding, because how do we know the difference between hoarding and, say, collecting something?
Yeah, and that's a very good question. And the way you talked about it originally, you said hoarding is idolatry. And that's what it gets down to. It's our attitude toward things, or our heart towards things. And it boils down to, does our heart desire creation or the things we have? Or does it desire the Creator, who is God? So as we're saving money, or even if we look at any other type of possession we have to check our heart. Are we doing those things in order to glorify God, or are we doing them because we desire those things more than we actually desire Him?
Well, what does hoarding do to our dependency on God, Brad? I mean, even with money, because really money is what we talk about every Tuesday morning, and we just recently discussed, you know, savings. Are we glorifying God or glorifying man with that? So now we're looking at hoarding, and if you're hoarding money, then what does that say about our relationship with God and our dependency on Him?
Yeah, so we've got a couple verses I can tie this back to. So 1 Timothy 6:17 tells us not to set our hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. So it can steal our hope. Is our dependency in God, or is our dependency, are we finding that security in the money or the wealth that we've saved up? And then the other one goes back all the way to Deuteronomy 8, and we see God addressing this issue before it even became a problem for the Israelites. So they've been wandering in the desert for 40 years, and He's getting ready to deliver them into the Promised Land, and He understands what a problem that could create for them. And in this whole thing, He's talking about how they've been depending on Him for every meal up to this point. And He says, do not say for yourself, my power and might and my own hand have gotten me this wealth, because He understands that they're going to be getting possessions of their own and not having to depend on Him for every meal. And then He concludes with, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get the wealth. So we always have to have our heart in the right place. Is our dependency and is our security in the money that we've saved, or in the things that we have accumulated, or is our ultimate dependency still on God? And if we tie this back all the way to the fundamentals that we've been talking about, we've got three ways to use our money. We can give it, we can save it, we can spend it. And as God's stewards, and as we acknowledge Him as the owner and creator of all those things, are we managing those resources for His glory? And if so, there's going to be a point in time where we don't need to spend any more on ourselves. There will be a point in time where we don't have anything we need to be specifically saving for, and that is where we can get into a big danger. Hoarding is when we don't have a specific thing that we're setting that money aside for. We don't have a need or a purpose in the future. We're just setting it aside and accumulating it either for out of the desire to gain wealth or out of an insecurity and a lack of trust in God, and we start to find that trust in what we've accumulated. So that's where we can really run into the heart problems.
Well, we're talking with Brad Graber. We do this every Tuesday. He's our financial planner. He's got a website, investingintruth.com, just with great reminders of just how we deal with the provisions God gives each and every one of us from a biblical standpoint. You know, hoarding, it's fascinating from the standpoint, Brad. I mean, there's even a TV show. I don't know if it's still on or not. That's basically the focus of this, mm-hmm. You know, hoarders. And you see these pictures, and it's like, wow, all this stuff that people have in their home, it's almost daunting. But when we look at hoarding, where does a person even start? You know, maybe someone's being convicted, they're listening to this interview now. Where do they even start to let go?
Again, it all goes back to that issue of the heart. And we need to ask ourselves, are we being controlled by things, or do we own our things? So, you know, who owns who in that situation? And it can manifest itself in so many ways. So, like, the hoarding show is talking about all kinds of random things that people are under the control of those things. So I've got just a couple of things that I would tell people to try to check and avoid hoarding in these ways. Number one is, if we're saving money, have a goal for every dollar that you're saving. So whether that's retirement, college, a house, the next car, those are all things that we can quantify. And once we've saved up enough money to be able to purchase those things or provide for those things in the future, there's no more reason to be saving for those purposes. So if we don't have a purpose, there's probably a better use for that money as we look to how we glorify God. The second thing I would say is balance your giving and your saving. This is one where there's that danger in just looking at giving as that check-the-box item, and we say, oh, well, we're going to give X percent, and then that never changes regardless of what happens with our income or with the rest of our financial situation. And over time, we can find that more and more money starts as we pay off our debts, as we, you know, earn more money, whatever it may be, more and more of our money starts to be set aside in that savings and that accumulation, and we never adjust our giving. So I would always challenge people, as you increase your savings, also increase your giving to make sure that we're always keeping that balance between what we're giving to God and what we're keeping for ourselves or for future purposes. The next thing is nothing should ever be considered untouchable by God. So as we look at, I like the exercise of doing a personal financial statement every year, partly because I can look at what resources I have in my hand and how I can best use those, but also from the standpoint of, is there anything on there that I have in my hands that I'm not willing to let go of? And this is where we start to see that wrestle with the heart. Do I have something where I'm not willing to give it up if God would call me to? And if so, then I need to start asking myself if that has become an idol. Because if I'm not willing to give it up, likely I've created an idol out of that and have placed it above God. So that's a danger sign. And then the last thing I would say is don't save with the goal of getting rich. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Well, ruin and destruction, those are pretty big words. So it's telling us that if we're saving from that desire to get rich, so we're not saving for a specific need that will ultimately glorify God, but we're saving to glorify ourselves by wanting to get rich, that there's a lot of danger in doing that. So we need to always be checking, why are we saving? And do we have this ultimate flaw in our thinking that the rich are so much better off than even the poor are? And many of us have that philosophy, but Ecclesiastes 5:12 kind of brings that back into check as well. It says, the sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much, but as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. It's so easy for us to think that the rich have it so easy. But this verse coming from Solomon is showing us that it doesn't matter how much you have. There are burdens. Everybody has struggles in life, and wealth is not going to remove the struggles. It may just change what those struggles are. So we need to be able to find contentment regardless of what our situation is.
You know, something I was sitting here thinking as I was listening to you speak, Brad, is a few weeks ago we mentioned and discussed this a little bit, that sometimes we tend to, in the church, look at our spirituality as our relationship with God solely, but we don't bring the rest of life into it. We compartmentalize. Well, finances are over here. That's got nothing to do with my relationship with God. He and I are on good terms. Now I got to go over here and worry about this mess I've made out of a savings account or a checking account. But just listening to you speak about this, maybe, you know, and chime in on this, it would be a good idea, if you don't have an accountability partner, to definitely have one for so many other reasons, but to bring your finances into that also.
Yeah, and that's a touchy subject. So, for, you know, there may be people you want to share your finances with and not with others, but I think it is so important, because money, it really brings out where our heart truly is at. So as we're talking about hoarding, I mean, just as we're talking about this, you hear so many times over and over and over how this relates, our relationship with God shows up in money. So it needs to be an area where we're examining that. And it may, you know, our relationship with God or our spirituality may be hidden in so many other ways in life, but how we're handling our money really brings it to the forefront. And if we're not willing to look at it and examine it, I think we're missing that huge barometer in our life that could show us where we really stand spiritually.